This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Kevin, I did like the announcement from DeBoer earlier that said with Robertson, we'll see tomorrow.
That does feel on brand for hockey.
Jets coach go regarding Mark Scheifele and Josh Morrissey. We'll see tomorrow. Game time decision.
Tremendous.
So that is a little gamesmanship from coaches saying, I don't got to give you crap right now.
And like, even if they knew, they wouldn't, they'd be like,
oh, I do not have to tell you.
Can't say.
So I will just keep the, and what did Brian Ray say yesterday when we had him on? He was like, it's the welcome to the NHL playoffs where you can't trust anything. Any coach says
pretty much
nothing.
Exactly. This morning I walked in and said, Kevin, I think I'm going to use this Quinn Ewers story as a conversation piece for the C block. And we kind of went back and forth on our discussion on it. My feeling on this, because let's see if I can find this real quick. I actually kind of get it, but Quinn Ewers' agent said, and this is the quotes that were brought in, and he said, taken out of context a little bit, the day after the draft, Slavin said he reached out to half the league to find out what happened. And he said they thought he was a third or fourth round pick, but too big of a name to be a clipboard holder, which I think is chicken-ess. There's only so many reps to go around for a young quarterback. You can justify it at other positions, but if you can get a quarterback, the amount of work to develop him, then you're almost wasting a pick. That was one personnel chief that said that. Now, I personally do understand that. Because the most popular person on a team with no quarterback is the backup quarterback. So for teams that have bad starting quarterbacks, for the Cowboys, Quinn Ewers isn't a problem. No, the Cowboys aren't making a decision to move off him.
Right.
This year, do you think there's going to be a moment where people are calling for Milton to be out on the field?
Probably.
Okay, because Dak's going to have a stinker game somewhere.
Yeah, but that just seems the nature of like a fringe part of the fan base.
Right. The rest of there are other teams that have Mariota. They have bad quarterbacks. Yeah. And if you have him on the team as a backup, everybody's going, what about him?
Yeah.
Throw him out there.
Yeah.
Problem is, he's not good enough for that yet. And I do agree with the idea of like, you do need to develop quarterbacks. It's just difficult in the league now. You need to stay in college to be a developed quarterback because you aren't getting reps on any NFL team right now. So I do understand that. But again, I go to the thing is, he's not good. And the agent didn't just want to say that. Now, there was so what was amazing, though, was during that conversation, the agent was listening because everybody Tolos, Kevin.
That's true.
Everybody Tolos. And he said, I got to call in and I have to have a conversation with these guys about it. So that's just the way we do it around here.
I did not agree with most of anything he said, including part of the reason was he talked about how Quinn Ewers was the fourth most socially engaged quarterback in like.
And that's pressuring teams to put him on the field?
Like, I don't buy that at all, but I get it. Like, I know what his job is, and he might firmly believe that. I think Quinn Ewers was always going to be a day three pick going into the draft, and the fact that he went in the seventh instead of the fifth is probably because people saw his shaky arm strength and happy feet and questionable pocket presence.
I agree with you there, too. 1,000%. I felt like all those things would not drop him further than the fifth round,
though. Yeah.
And that's where I'm kind of like, okay, but I do have a question about NIL. When you see that the former Tennessee quarterback was trying to negotiate an extra $4 million in college.
Yeah.
And then later down the road, maybe he's not good. He's a fringy second round kind of guy. Do teams want him? Or are they like, dude, he's going to be a problem whenever we get him in the NFL?
See, I haven't really been able to figure that out because I know there were some people at the very beginning when Quinn Ewers left Ohio State, there was, and this was after he left his high school team, and he's like, I'm going to go ahead and go off early, see you later, that there was questions about that. But then there's been other times when players have opted out of a season or opted out of a bowl game that it doesn't really seem like it's been that big of a deal. So I've started to kind of lean towards the camp of, that's just the like extra thing you say to prove your overall point. Like, you don't really care about that, but you're like, no, we didn't want Quinn Ewers. Oh, what are the reasons? And you're like, also this other reason.
I do wonder if that's going to affect things down the road, though, whenever guys are getting millions of dollars in cut. We're already seeing it affect the players wanting to leave. And I'm interested to see how they negotiate with NFL owners down the road, too, if that changes. Now, the one thing I will say, and I asked you this morning, and Alec, I don't know if I've never heard a bad thing about Quinn Ewers. Yeah. I want to make that pretty clear.
Yeah, for sure.
If there's something out there that I don't know about, I've never heard that the dude is making remarks or that he's, you know, been caught drinking for and all sure. these. I just haven't heard that. It was very instantly when he was at Southlake and decided to bypass his senior year of high school. Most of the country went, you better prove it quick. Otherwise, you're getting kicked out.
And instead, he went to Ohio State. That didn't work out. And he went to Texas. And, like, he had a good career at Texas. But, like, it's not just the football draft. You can find every sport in their draft, whether you want to go back to freaking Tyler Hansborough, where you're like, this kid is amazing in college and his team wins, but we don't think it's going to translate at the next level. And I think that's plain and simple what has happened to Quinn Ewers. If you think that's the same thing that happened to Will Howard, well, he was a freaking MVP and they won a national championship. He got taken in the sixth round. Is there's just some players that they're like, I mean, you were good in college, maybe great in college, but I just don't see the traits that you'll need at the next level.
Yeah, and that's kind of...
Or Shador, for that matter.
Now, the other conversation... Speaking of Shador, because he plays for Cleveland.
True.
He's going to be wearing Cleveland clothes this season and might eventually play for them.
Maybe.
Another quarterback that is going to be wearing Cleveland clothes and might be playing for them this season is Dylan Gabriel.
Yes.
Have we already discussed Dylan Gabriel's ability to talk to birds?
Oh, like what?
This is Dylan Gabriel talking to the birds and finding out when he would be picked in the NFL draft.
This is where all the boys would get together, at least in the neighborhood. Wanted to talk story or hang out. Check out the view. That bird back there.
What are they saying?
Cleveland Browns, 94. That's what he said.
Okay.
Cleveland Browns.
With the 94th pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select Dylan Gabriel.
How did that bird know Dylan Gabriel was going to be picked 94th overall?
I need more information.
By the Browns.
When did this video... No, that doesn't help. When did this video come out? Because if it came out like a couple hours before the draft, amazing. If it came out 1 minute before he got taken, I'm like, well, Cleveland called him on the phone. Or if it came out after he got drafted. But if that came out multiple hours before he got drafted... That is unfreaking believable, and I kind of wonder if that bird told him.
From the 817, make that bird president. Yeah, no, absolutely. He knows what's going on. So
yeah.
Kevin, I don't know the answer to your question. We'll have to do some more research on that to find out. But I believe that his agent had a pretty good idea.
Okay.
It may have been day two, or maybe it was day three. I don't know exactly. It may have been early in day two that he knew that. And they're like, hey, we're getting a word that you're probably going to go in this round to them. You're going to go at 94 to the Browns.
But that's a great bit then.
It is a really good bit. And I thought it was really funny. But
well, because if it's wrong, you'll just be like, yeah, you know why it's wrong? Because it's a bird.
Yes.
A bird doesn't know about the NFL draft.
Stupid bird. So the question is, now that we know that bird knows the future, what animal would you want to be able to communicate with? 877-881-1045.
All right. So it's a million, billion, gajillion percent dogs.
Okay, I get it. Dogs are great.
Yeah, for multiple reasons. Dogs are great. But sometimes you have a dog who thinks every noise, including the wind, is people that have come to kill your family. And like, I appreciate, and like our newer dog, Boba Fetch, that is, he's calm. Bella is not. She thinks we might get murdered at any second. And so I wish I could just have a conversation with her where she could also understand me and I could be like, hey, girl, you're the best and I appreciate what you're doing. That was the wind.
Stop freaking out.
All right. If you heard like a little twinge on the door like that, no one's coming to murder us.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. But that one time that a table in our house shattered overnight, she didn't make a peep. Like, I kind of want to relitigate that as well.
Because she did it.
But also, that is a theory that we have gone with for some time. But the other thing is they seem to know. And I'm like, what is it? And I feel like the dog will be like, oh, I think Noah needs to be changed or something. And I'm like, that's the information I need to know.
Stuck in the well. Yeah.
Well, hopefully not that, but maybe.
Yeah. The from the 817 animal I wish I could communicate with is my wife. Oh, my. Come on.
Oh. Oh, I like
now
this.
Now it's audio of me saying that.
Cats, because they probably have the sickest burns.
They probably do.
Man.
They hate you.
That's true.
And we'll get into some more dog talk tomorrow, as a matter of fact. From the 972, birds aren't real and Dylan Gabriel stinks. Somebody did say, are birds that informative and yet not real at the same time?
That's the reason.
Because
it's a governmental robot.
I'm glad you took us to that direction, Kevin.
Just real quick, do you think a cat would say to you, like, hey, I'm surprised you're not surrounded by flies because you're a piece of ass?
Probably.
Yeah.
Cats, I would. Cats hate us.
They really do.
Kevin, like, regarding the government.
Yeah. Oh, no.
A former Bush administration official has made a shocking claim.
Okay, this story I do like.
That the U.S. government is secretly preparing for a mass extinction event on Earth.
I called that one.
Catherine Austin Fitz, who was the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Housing.
Why do we have that?
And Urban Development for Housing, joined Tucker Carlson on his podcast this week, saying she found $21 trillion in unaccounted funds was diverted to covert projects between 88 and 2015. Quote, one of the things I've looked at in the process of looking at where all this money is going is the underground base, city infrastructure and transportation system that's been built. That's been built. Based on a 2-year study, Fitz estimated there were approximately 170 underground facilities in the U.S. and potentially under surrounding oceans connected by a secret transportation network. When Carlson asked about their purpose, Fitz responded, a near-extinction event. My suggestion to you is watch the show Silo so that you can prepare for this event when it happens, because we'll all be living in silos and we'll be divided up into different areas together.
See, and I want to dive into the numbers of Silo, but I don't want to ruin it for anybody that hasn't seen it. But here's my question for both of y'all. Are you invested in the continuation of the human race if you know not you or anyone you know or care about gets to be involved? Because it feels like in most of these scenarios, they're like, oh yeah, we got room for 100,000 people. Well, you know what? A lot of us probably aren't going to make the cut. And so, like, if none of my friends or family or anybody that I care about is going to make the cut, it's just all the rich, fancy people that are going to make the cut. I wish we could put that $21 trillion back towards a deficit so people would stop freaking talking about it. So are you invested in the survival of the human race if they have determined you are irrelevant, as is your family, for the future?
I'm probably not.
Okay.
You know what? I hope that, you know, that y'all get it all figured out, but that is something that is not in my world at all.
Yeah.
Like, that's your world and I'm done for. From the 469 guys, I'm an Army vet. This lady's not lying. As much as you don't want to believe me, this lady is not lying.
Hold on. No. Before you read anything else, let me back it up. Well, that's probably not the way
I
wanted
back
to say
that thing
that.
Up,
dang
Kevin.
It. I believe this is absolutely possible.
I do too.
Because in every movie, I don't think they just pulled it out of thin air when they're like, oh yeah, there'll be a contingency plan with the tunnels and stuff. There's some version of this plan, I believe that.
Do you think that they did it with shovels or that they have one of those worm diggers? Have you seen those things where it's like a worm and it just eats the ground and then shovels the stuff back as it goes along and crumbles it? Yeah, dude.
Awesome.
This thing's amazing. Let's just start with that's not nearly enough money for what she's claiming they built.
That's a good point.
254.
That is a good point.
What do you mean? I don't know that. I don't know how much money it costs. What if they got really good discounts on the structure stuff?
Yeah. Okay, great. You've seen the construction that happens just in Texas on just Metroplex roads. They're like, I don't know. We need like $48 million to get that done. And they're like, oh, what about the entire state? Ooh, $3 billion. That's for Texas. You're telling me we've created some sort of tunnel between the oceans and all this other underground stuff? That feels low.
From the 214, I'm a Marine vet. She's full of crap. Marines supersede Army. All right, now we got an argument going back and forth here.
We have just started something.
And then from the 214, I watched both seasons of Silo, but it's ridiculous because there's no way all those people don't run out of stuff for 200 years. I don't know how long they've been there because I haven't gotten that far into the show. I've seen it all.
Okay.
I did have that question too.
See, I think if they're like, yeah, Kevin, we have created as much space underground as we have above the earth and you can all come with. Great. I would pay for a tax for that.
Let's go.
I'd be all about that. But if they're like, we're going to take 100,000 people and like Taya Leone gets to go or whatever,
how did you pull her name out of the
world? Because that's from Deep Impact.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They say that she gets to go.
That's right.
They take her on the news chopper so she gets to go to the base. Like, if those are the people that get to go and I'm out, pass.
Would you want to be living under the ocean or just like under the country? Like, where do you want to live,
though? I want to live under the country, and I'll tell you why. Because I realize if the ground caves in, you're screwed either way. But I have seen, like, even in the aquarium, I think it would be so cool to live in that, like, tunnel under the ocean. But then I keep thinking, like, one little crack.
Just one.
Or one
time.
Super pissed off smart shark. Like in Deep Blue Sea.
With Samuel L. Jackson.
You're done for, man.
We watched too many movies, but because we watched those movies, that's why we became friends with Shea Whigham so quickly yesterday.
That's true.
He loves
and like, if you're going to use that against me, both of those movies came out like 25 years ago. These aren't like all contemporary movies that I'm listing. Mm-hmm. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, dual segment. Are you ready? What do we think about the prospects of Josh Smith as the Rangers' everyday center fielder? And is Anthony Edwards about to become the face of the NBA? Next on The Fan.
There goes Young. Here's the pitch. It's hit hard over first. That's a fair ball down the line. It kicks back toward the diamond. A long run for Mastroboni to get to the ball. Young rounds third. He scores. Josh Tarrin for third. The throw from Mastroboni is cut. Smith is safe at third with an RBI triple. The Rangers' first extra base hit makes it a 7-1 ball game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Excellent bit of audio. What do you guys think about the prospects of Josh Smith as the Rangers' everyday center fielder? So they put Leody on waivers. When no one claims him, he'll have the option to keep his money and go back to the minors, and we'll see what happens there. I know they brought up Evan Carter, and I understand that, but Evan Carter, I just can't imagine for now he's going to be starting when there's a left-handed pitcher. And you've seen Josh Smith. He's played 7 different positions this year. Shortstop, third base, first base, second base, left field, center field, right field, and then been DH a whole ton as well. So he's shown off his versatility. And I'm curious about your thoughts about putting him in center field full time, even if you think it's a short term basis, or do you have to at least get Evan some looks against right handed pitchers?
What are Josh Smith's splits against left handers? Do we have a number on that?
I would have to look that up. I do not know.
I'm going to go find a little bit on that, because if it's not like better than what Wyatt Lang or that what
it is, it's definitely better than Evan Carter.
Well, yeah, if it's similar or whatever, then you know you'd kind of try and figure that out. Bochy's been very adamant that he has to be careful with Josh Smith. Last year, he played more baseball than he's ever played, and at the end of the season, there was some talk that he was kind of wearing himself down a little bit. So I think that's why I think that's what Bochy's talking about. I think a lot of the players on the team kind of wore themselves down by the end of the season last year. Because again, guys like Josh Young, you know, Josh Smith, those guys, Jonah Heim, they had not played that much in one season.
So you might not love this, but last year Evan Carter against left-handed pitching hit 111, and Josh Smith against left-handed pitching has hit 227.
And versus righties, like 338.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be significantly better for sure. But that is an interesting idea that you brought up, is the idea that, like, you can do that if you want, but how's it going to pay off in August and September and October?
And Very good question. And how do you get him? How do you keep Josh Smith on the field?
Yeah.
You know, how do you keep getting him at bats? Because what's his batting average right now? 311. I'm down. That's a song by 311, Kevin. Mm. The you want to kind of have him out there as frequently as possible without wearing him out, giving him days off. He's basically that fill-in guy at the moment. You know he can play so many different positions, so you want to try and figure out how to do that. From the 817, hell no, Wyatt Langford's your center fielder.
All right.
Go ahead.
So I think that could also possibly happen. Now, that will depend on the long-term regression or injury of Evan Carter. Because, like, in an ideal world, is it fair to say the Rangers would love to have Langford in left, Carter in center, and Osuna in right, and, like, just roll with that for 6 years or whatever.
After Lodolis is out?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. But I just don't know if that time is yet. I know Boch told us that they had talked to Wyatt and had some conversations, yep. But I would assume that that would be kind of more like, play some center here, play some center there. I'm not saying he can't be the long-term center fielder. He absolutely can be. I just don't think that time is yet.
Okay, and again, Leody's been out there most of this season.
For sure.
Somebody said, what about Pilar-Evan Carter split? And Pilar right now, he's hitting .237.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't, in the last five games, he has like one, two hits.
Yeah.
Nothing special, but very serviceable outfielder, very serviceable, I mean, beyond serviceable defender in the outfield. So I think that's a nice thing to think of. But yes, I agree with you. Those three, that would ultimately be the decision if they all showed up that way. And then Josh Smith is continuing to be a utility kind of guy that you can put anywhere on the field. I asked Boch last week, is he more than a utility infielder, a utility player? And he said, yeah.
Okay, so that's tricky, right? Because, like, Josh Smith, let's say Josh Smith was the full-time center fielder. Do you feel like you'd look at it and be like, hey, yeah, good job? But if you can put him in all these different positions, I'm sure some people will argue, like, he plays almost every day, but a lot of times he plays in all different places. Doesn't really seem to bother him one way or another. He feels like one of the most valuable utility players in the entire league. Whereas if you're just like, hey, we got him at center, then I wonder if you'd like, except we need to move him from center for this day or this day or this day.
He's still treating it like he hasn't arrived.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been given a spot. And so he knows, I don't have a spot anywhere in Major League Baseball right now. So I have to go out there, whatever they ask me to do, I got to go out there and do it as well as I can to keep being out there. He knows that's his only option of getting back out there every time is for him to continue performing. Like when you got a guy in right field and he's been a right fielder for 6 years now, his mindset is I'm the right fielder. I'm the starting right fielder. I'm the starting first baseman. That's when they start getting in their little bit of a groove and their habits. Like we always say, they're a creature of habit. But Josh Smith's current habit right now is I have no clue where I'm going to be. I just have to make sure I get fed and I get a check.
Now, from the 214, why not take Garcia's spot for now? So I'll give you what I think is factual evidence and then just my own opinion. My own opinion is that I think that with Adolis, you have to be more mentally careful with him because perhaps he is sensitive is not the right word, but like, you know, he seems to ebb and flow emotionally a lot more with the highs and lows.
That's a good way to put it.
And so the other reason I think is because the Rangers cannot stop chasing 2023 Adolis. All right. So look at 2021, 22, and 23. Adolis Garcia did not put up like particularly dissimilar stat lines. But for 2021 and 2022, the way they got there were entirely different. Like in 2021, you saw him at times fall off a freaking cliff. And then in 2022, you saw up, up, up. 2023 was the most complete, like, stay the course, statistic-wise, regular season that we've ever seen from Adolis. And when you look at that, you got 39 home runs, 107 RBIs with a .245 batting average and an OPS of .836. And that goes back to looking at his contract.
I mean, was he chasing that year, Kevin? Wasn't he chasing a contract that
year? Yes. And so you got the 2-year extension, which he was hoping for a long-term extension.
A bigger one.
And you didn't love that. Yeah. And right now, he's on the board for $9 million, and next year is going to be an arbitration season. All right, fine. Let's say that you're going to give him $12 or $13 million. I'll be, I think, generous on that front. Where in the world in the free agency market could you find 39, 107 with an OPS of 836 or anywhere close to $12 million? And I think that is what the Rangers can't let go of. And I think their concern short term is if they just bench him again, are they going to get him back?
This is like
mentally.
This is like having a really cheap, actually free Hotmail account. And you're like, why would I give that account up if I'm barely paying anything for it? And I got to go spend more to get that kind of, you're dead on with that, with the Rangers.
And it started to glitch and you're like, oh man, but it used to be awesome.
Yeah. And if, and Kevin, then that's the other part of, well, we're going to have to change. The whole team's not hitting.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to change hitting coaches. Well, then what if that doesn't change things? Then you start picking one player at a time. They did it with Berger already, moving him down. He had to go kind of refresh himself and figure out what he's doing there.
And because Berger has the options, the thing with Jock Peterson, and now if you want to talk about Adolis Garcia, is there's too much money for you to move on from them. For Leody, I get it. Like, I don't think anyone's going to pick him up. But if they did, that's $3 million. That you're just like, all right, so you spent $3 million and you just want to move on from that person. And like, you know, but with Adolis, $9 million this year. For Jock, I think it's like 17 or 18 and then $17 or $18 million next year. If you're trying to convince your ownership group that they need to spend more money, especially when you're right up against one of the aprons, it's probably not going to work if you just let those people go or sit them or whatever, because they're going to be like, hey, you got $27 million sitting on the bench. Why don't you go do something with those players?
Yeah, exactly. Very good point there. Kevin, I'm not against the idea. And even for a short period of time, every day center fielder for maybe a month.
Okay.
If Evan Carter is performing very well, then we reset and have that conversation. You know, I think the obviously right now they're going to try and get Evan Carter in the lineup as often as they can because they believe, I mean, you heard Chris Young
against right-handed pitchers.
Yeah. I think they're going to try and do it as often as they can so that they can. And then at some point, I feel like they're probably going to say, we got to see if he can hit some lefties too and try and take advantage of that if he's very patient at the plate and having great success.
Now, I think you're going to say no to this, but
no.
Okay. Fair.
Next topic.
Oh, man.
Let's go to this topic again.
So there's an article thrown out in The Athletic by Mike Bassick's nemesis, Jim Bowden, believe. And he pitched the idea of trading for Luis Robert. Because one of the reasons is if you have a platoon, very rarely.
Did Nightingale bring that up yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I knew that's why. But one of the things is if you have a platoon, it's probably not because you have the most badass roster ever assembled and you just can't find room for all of your awesome players, right? Like if you see a platoon of Evan Carter, Pilar, and then some Josh Smith, it's because like you don't have somebody that you can put there every single day. So Luis Robert is a complicated fellow in terms of, man, how many years have we been waiting for him to be really good? Like that one time, again, back in 2023, where you're like, holy crap, dude, this guy could be awesome. And it's all based on that, because otherwise, you see a player who frequently gets hurt and who has struggled mightily to start this season. And it would cost you, I believe the article said, like your 10th and 12th prospect in the organization, Cole Drake and somebody else. I'm just not interested in this because Luis Robert feels like the ultimate of unfulfilled baseball potential.
Right there with you, man. I agree with you on that. I think have we discussed the Carson Kelly situation?
Oh, no.
Should we have kept Carson Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, look,
he's currently hitting 361 with a 1.320 OPS.
Yeah.
What the heck did we not see? What did we do wrong here? Now, granted, he's played in 20 games, you know, but, you know, hey, 361, 8 home runs. That would be the best hitter on the team, right? Like, he would be easily the best hitter on this team right now. Sorry to distract from the Robert conversation, but This Carson Kelly story is really blowing my mind.
Although, if you look at it, catcher is not necessarily a position where you're like, man, they sure have sucked for us this year.
Right, but DH would be awesome.
Oh, my God. For
yeah,
sure.
So
we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Go
coming up next, go get Rangers. Let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. And is it song time again?
No. No, don't do it to us.
But are you sure? Next on The Fan.
Do it to them.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee.
Okay, that's excellent.
You?
I was already about to answer that question. I've been so programmed.
I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry I was distracted after seeing that that house in, what was that, Carrollton, get struck by a lightning bolt.
Oh, dip. I didn't see that.
I think it was Colleyville, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you are you ever driving down the road and you think about your reaction time if a lightning bolt hit the street and, like, caused
my
bust
friend's
open.
Car got hit while she was in the car
up.
And she said there was definitely like a and then like it was just pull over and breathe for a few minutes because that was terrifying.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
that is really scary, dude. I often think about things like that. Like today in the shower, I thought, man, I think I heard one time like the shower's the one place you can't be if your house is struck by lightning.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Don't be in the shower when it happens.
So I quickly
is that
got
because
out.
Of the water?
Uh-huh.
The water on your body?
Yep.
Okay. Oh.
Conducting the electricity.
Yeah. Now, somebody requested
that
Club Stars open up for this particular reason. Have you heard the breathtaking Winnipeg hype song for the Dallas Stars series?
Has it already made its way to G-Bag of the Day?
I have I've been privy to it. I have we have not played it on our airwaves. We've been too just disgusted by the whole thing. It's hilarious.
We have two parts for you to listen to, and what I want you to remember,
we'll have a response from Bully Melrose.
Yes.
Believe me, yeah.
We have edited this down substantially. Here's part one of the Winnipeg Kids Bop song.
Oh.
All right.
Wow.
Canada.
What are your initial thoughts about that?
I would hate to be a Jets fan.
Yeah, the country that brought us Rush.
Yeah. How did we get that?
How do we get that out of Rush?
So here's what I want you to know.
I imagine Canada is like boring and super wholesome. Maybe that's playing right into some of my thoughts about Canada.
We edited out the first 10 seconds, which is just more of the stupid
Stanley
underlying
Cup.
Melody. Yes. And then that verse they have about the players that are hurt and their head coach. They say the exact same thing again after that.
Oh, no.
And then they say it a third time at the very end.
For good measure.
But not before you get the lyrical brilliance of this part of the song.
That's Connor Hellebuck.
Dawson's name for him.
Because there are so many fun words you could rhyme with Hellebuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if you wanted to keep it clean, you could probably figure it out.
Hellebutt.
But they're like, let's just repeat the same thing over and over and over.
Did you have the same thought being a parent of, a two-year-old son?
Yeah.
Like, this reminds me of a lot of the baby songs.
Oh,
if you've ever heard the Gummy Bear song, it so reminds me of this. And
from the show? From the cartoon?
No.
Oh, okay,
it's like some musician from another country is like, look for the Gummy Bear album. If you've ever heard the song, it's impossible to get out of your brain. But this felt like a kids bop version of a real song that they wanted to put together.
But it was middle-aged people for the most part.
I saw
the video. Yeah. It's like,
it looks like they snuck into the arena whenever they weren't allowed to be there.
Yes, yeah. And this has really acted as a curse. I mean, I know they ended up getting by, but it took all they had, and all the names that they drop in that song are either heard or they sucked.
Yeah.
The 940, if I was on that team, I'd vote to forfeit, because what the hell am I playing for?
Sure. Those people. And I don't know if you guys want to open up the club, if Bobby wants to do a response, but the most logical...
Bobby's going to rap over that.
Yeah, it took me 1 second to listen to that song, and I want to respond, hey guys, your song sucks. And like, that's just what I want to throw out there. And that took 1 second to figure out.
We've had their play-by-play guy on already, right?
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yes, we did this morning.
I would have said, hey, we're going to play you a clip of your song. How do you feel about this?
Wanted them to do.
Yeah.
You'd have to think, is there not a more musically inclined Jets fan out there that could remedy this problem for them?
Because they had talented people there. In the video, this dude backflips off of something, and I'm like, all right, so you have some talented people here.
They can't see.
Yeah.
Or can't get it together.
I guess not.
It just smacks of like some sort of corporate promotion production that's got to be super wholesome and family friendly.
Yeah.
And it's just such a fail, because something that's going to go viral and truly resonate, it's got to be from the streets.
Now, to be fair, this did go viral.
Yeah.
But probably not for the best reasons. They've already turned off comments on their YouTube.
Oh, no.
Because of this. Oh, no. So,
is the league responding to their song?
Yeah. I don't know what is happening, but yeah, so they had to turn off the comments on the YouTube for this, because
WTFA?
Yeah, it was
the Teletubbies of sports songs.
It is.
Did you see they've only won 4 playoff series ever? Did you see that fact about them?
I did not. Yeah. Can you say that exact sentence one more time?
They've only won 4 playoff series ever.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah,
pretty sad. But I did
what
ask...
What are you going for there, Higgy?
It sounded like he said they'd only won 1 4-play series ever, and I was like...
I was wondering what you're doing there.
I was like, what does that mean? I'm sorry. I don't understand.
I have that Friday content.
Tell me more.
Rain delay, right?
I'm a hockey guy all of a sudden. Yeah. You'll be happy to know I'm in correspondence as we speak with our very own analyst, Bully Melrose, and we might get reaction to the Winnipeg Jets Teletubby song here shortly.
And I know there's important like hockey things to talk about, but I just want every guest to have to listen to that song and be like, have you changed your prediction based on that song?
How could you not, dude? Seriously, that song has been working against them.
That is very fair. Did you hear this morning when Sean and RJ went over the Quinn Ewers agent? I'm just making things up. And then he called in.
Yes, it was incredible.
To address that it was the social media engagement of Quinn Ewers. That's what he said.
Wow.
That scared teams away from drafting him. What are your thoughts about that?
He's the high profile backup.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't sit well with him because of it. Yeah, that is. I do think there is probably some elements to that, because I think that's part of what happened with Shador to some extent. Yeah. You know, you have this.
That's
giant
a real
name
circus,
figure.
Though. It feels
like,
and
that,
right?
Exactly. The Ewers thing is
the
being
NIL
overplayed.
Might be something that people evaluate from
on. That's what Corey brought up about the Tennessee, or I guess former Tennessee turned UCLA quarterback.
These quarterbacks are quick to leave. You know, they're quick to leave and go other places, and people are probably looking at them and going, why are these dudes? Why can't they hang in there and try and fight through some adversity and stuff like that? I think that's going to be part of the evaluation tool going forward. That Parcells always said to us, I don't want the Hollywood quarterback. I just don't want the Hollywood guy, whoever that is.
Quinn's not Hollywood, though, is he? His image has been great.
Well, the guy that has the NIL money and
the
all
commercials,
that stuff. That's kind of where I don't think there's anything wrong with Quinn at all.
No.
I think people evaluated him as a player. I think that's the thing that was the biggest thing for me.
Because they saw a drop-off year over year. They're worried about his physical ability to stay in the NFL, and he makes questionable decisions, and his arm might not be as strong as we once thought.
I'll tell you what, he made one of the prettiest throws I've ever seen a college quarterback make at Tuscaloosa to beat Alabama. I mean, he's made some really, really good throws. But there's been times where his pocket awareness and things like that has just been horrendous. And I think that's where some NFL scouts kind of ding him a little bit.
The durability is a huge question.
Yeah,
yeah, and
I'm
with you
on that.
I would have stayed in college for one more year.
Not any worse than Tyler Shuck and his two broken collarbones and femur get picked 40th overall.
That is fascinating.
I mean, Kellen Moore, if Kellen Moore gets him to play like winning football down there.
Healthy winning football.
Then the Cowboys effed up. They should have hired Kellen Moore. That's what I'm looking at.
What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Booked Corby for 320.
Okay.
Patrick Corbin. Rangers
pitcher.
That's
about to be a shocking pickup right there. I'm really interested in that segment at 320.
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have in the KNC Masterpiece. Remember, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Paige Beckers. 12:30, Bruce Bochy. Got to tune in 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.